So I thought the Lord had told me to actually teach on stumbling blocks to prayer, which is something that he had taught me, I think it was 2016, in one of my times, you know, I never read the Bible without a notebook. I have notebooks after notebooks after notebooks because he always starts talking to me when I'm in the Word and starts showing me things. And that's what I had felt like he had wanted me to teach. And so I had it all typed up and ready to go. And then 2 days ago, he said, I want you to teach on the Lord's Prayer. And I taught on this Sunday at Danny's church, Real Church. And it's kind of funny because I've never wanted to teach on the Lord's Prayer. And this may sound crazy, but I see too many people pray the Lord's Prayer. And they think that's what you're just supposed to do. You're just supposed to pray the Lord's Prayer. And when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I've prayed the perfect prayer because that's how Jesus prayed, right? And so I see so much confusion with that. I always kind of stay away from teaching the Lord's Prayer. And when Danny talked to me, well, he asked me to, you know, could I kind of tag team teach with him? And then he was mentioning, you know, he said, you know, the Lord's Prayer, that, you know, the disciples ask him, teach us to pray. And so took him to the Lord's Prayer, or he taught them the Lord's Prayer. And I'm like, oh, I said, I just have this thing because I see way too many people praying, just praying those words and thinking that, okay, I've prayed the way he wanted me to pray. And I'm like, it's not those words, you know? And I mean, praying the Word of God is always good. And tons of times in my prayer time, and I'm like, how should I pray for this? He'll send me to a scripture, and he'll say, pray this over them, you know, and I'll pray that scripture over them, because his word doesn't return void. So anyway, I think he was wanting to teach me something. So I'm like, well, I said, let me look at it, and I said, I kind of feel like I know what I'm supposed to talk about, but I said, let me look at the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, and then I'll get back with you. And so anyway, I sat down at my computer, and I pulled the Lord's Prayer up, and as I'm reading it line by line, he starts talking to me. And I realized that in that prayer, it's an outline, and it's in the last 11, 12 years, however long I've really been involved heavily in prayer, it's all the stuff he's taught me right there. He's taught me bits here and bits there and bits here and there and here and there, and it's all right there in that outline. And so it's just been amazing. It's really been amazing for me. And I also realized that a lot of the stumbling blocks that he was going to have me teach on out of Luke 17 is contained in the understanding of this outline of prayer. So this is what we're going to talk about is the Lord's Prayer tonight. And it starts with, you know, like I said, it came out of his disciples asking him, because they had seen him pray, and they had seen that his prayers were effective, right? And so they're like, teach us to pray. We see you go away and you pray, and then when you come out and you do stuff, it happens. So teach us how to pray. And so he had taught them before he got to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:6-8, if you look there, he said, but when you pray, now here's more instruction on prayer. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And the two things that I think are huge in those verses are close the door. We get so distracted. And if you're trying to pray and you've got the TV on, or you got your cell phone going off, or you've got anything, you know what? I have found, I mean, sometimes just the birds chirping and it's going from, you know, morning or dark to light, and it will distract me, and all kinds of things will distract me. So I have to, I mean, even the last few years in my car, I rarely have anything on, not even the radio, because he's been too many times, just turn the radio off. I want you to hear what I'm saying. You know, and I'm so even worship music sometimes gets us distracted. We're singing that song and we're not listening to him. We're, you know, there's so much teaching that we can constantly be listening to. You know, I used to always had teaching on, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if we're not taking time to be quiet and close the door and actually get with him, then all that other stuff is a distraction. So, you know, as long as we have that time with him, and then throughout the day we're listening, and you know, when he says turn the radio off, I mean, he said that to me, I don't know how many times, so finally I just like, I don't even turn it on. I'm like, I know you're going to talk to me, so I'm not going to turn it on. You know, if he's not talking a whole lot, then I'll go ahead and turn it on. But you know, my time in my car, he talks to me so much, and it's, you know, things I need to hear. But you know, you kind of get where, when you drive as many years as I've driven, you're kind of, you know, all of us, you're kind of on autopilot. You don't have to think about, oh, I need to have my hands here, I need to do this, I need, like you do, you know, you just get in and you drive. So your mind, you're kind of in that state of where you're really not having to think about what you're doing. So that's a really good time for God to be able to speak to you. But so it doesn't always have to be in a room. I mean, there are a lot of times I have those kind of times with the Lord in a room, closed off in a room. But a lot of times it's in the shower, it's in the car, it's sitting at my desk when nobody else is around, you know, that I have that. But it's the distractions, you know. People come into my office all the time, they're like, oh my gosh, it's so quiet in here, doesn't that just drive you crazy? Because I don't have music going, I don't have, you know, noise in the background, I don't. And I'm like, no, I don't even know that I've really paid attention that it's so quiet in here, you know. So anyway, I think that was a huge thing when Jesus prayed. And there's a private prayer, and then there's a communal prayer. You know, that's that prayer as we go and we're encountering situations and we're going, what do I do here? What do you want me to say to this person? How do I diffuse this situation? Or how do I respond correctly? Or, you know, that's that communal prayer that goes on all the time. But there is time to go away and to have that quietness before him and to really listen to what he has to say. And then the other key verse is in verse 8 when it says, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He knows. We don't have to explain. I used to think I had to explain the whole situation to him, you know. Here's what's going on. Here's what I need you to do. Here's, you know, and when I realized that he knows. And he not only knows for me, but he knows for the other people involved or the other, whatever else is going on. He knows all of it. And so that gave me the confidence that I can do what the Lord's Prayer tells me to do. So anyway, we're going to go to Matthew. I took this out, the Lord's Prayer, out of Matthew 6. So verse 9 says, pray then in this way. So he doesn't say, this is what you say. He says, pray in this way. This is an example of how to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first thing that he showed me this time when he was teaching me this prayer is in the Old Testament, God is rarely called God the Father. He is. There are times he is called God the Father. I think I had read somewhere that it's like 16 times in the Old Testament. The Old Testament's a big chunk of the Bible, right? And he's not called our Father. But I went to several of the verses where he is referred to as God the Father. And the word Father there is Ab, A-B, which means he is the originator of that family, okay? The Israelites. He was the originator of that family. He's an ancestor. So like our great, 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 great grandfather that we don't know. Mm-hmm. Personally, we don't know him, but he is in our family, right? He's our great, 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 great grandfather. Okay, so that was Ab, that was Father in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's Abba. So it's my Father. And you notice there, Jesus doesn't say, a lot of times in the word, he tells us to go to his Father. But in this instance, he said, our Father. So this is not only his Father, but it's going to be our Father, because he hadn't gone to the Father yet and opened that way for them to pray. That hadn't happened yet, but he was letting them know that he's going from my Father to your Father. Okay, that's happening. So that's that closeness. We need to remember that he's not just Jesus's Father. He's our Father, and we can come to him. We have to come to him that way. We can't come to him any other way. We have to come to him as our Father. But the balance in this verse is where it says, hallowed be your name. Because he's not just our Father, but he's God. Yes. So there's a balance. There is a holy, awesome balance that he's not just, I don't just go, hey, Dad, can you talk for a minute? You know, that would be very disrespectful to talk to my God that way. So I go to him as, Father, thank you that I get to come to you. You're my Father, and I can come to you like this. But God, you're also God that created this whole universe, that spoke the worlds into existence. You know, there's that balance, that holy awe that we need to have with God. That fear, that's the fear of the Lord. It's not like, I'm afraid to come to you. It's, wow, you're amazing, God. You look at all you've done. Look at you. So when we come to him, he's telling us, come to him as your Father, but also come to him as your God. And that's how he came to him, when he talked to him. Jesus never took advantage of his position with God the Father. He always respected him as God. And I only do what he says, right? Because he knew what he said weighed on him. We go to the next verse, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom in the Greek actually means royal power and authority. Now, I always thought of kingdom as like your reign. I want you to reign in this place. No, Jesus is telling us that when he goes to the Father, and now we have that access, that we also have that kingdom authority and power, that Jesus said that God the Father gave that to him, and then he turned around and told his disciples, I'm giving it to you. You now have this. So when we pray, we need to remember, hey, I've got some authority and power in what I'm going to be praying, and I need to pray as such. I need to pray with that authority and power, not like, well, I hope you, if you don't mind, when we do the rest of this verse, your will be done. So when we come to him and we go, God, what is your will in this situation? How do you want me to pray? I ask him that all the time. How do you want me to pray? I don't presume to know anything when I come before the Father. I just go, okay, here's the situation. How do you want me to pray about this, you know? And when he tells me how to pray, then I pray with that authority, that royal authority and power. Okay, this is what you've told me, and I am praying that, believing that you've told me and you've given me the power to speak this in. And it's his will in heaven, you know, as on earth as it is in heaven, because he has a will in heaven, right? He's sitting there. Jesus is sitting next to him, ever interceding for us. So they're talking about what they want to accomplish, what needs to accomplish. Jesus is probably talking to him more about what needs to happen with us, you know. They listen, but not real well, so we need to, you know. Yeah, I mean, I could just see him, you know, the way he goes, because he goes, these are mine. Father, I haven't lost a one of them, he said. I haven't lost a one of them that you've given to me. You know, so he's interceding on our behalf. He's up there talking to the Father. They have a will that they want done, and the only way they get it accomplished in the earth, because he's given us free will, right, is through a man. Mm-hmm. So he isn't going to force anything he wants to happen. He's going to go, if I can get a man in agreement with me, if I can get somebody to come before me and say, what do you want to happen in this situation? And I tell them, and then they speak that, now my will comes to earth. So it's in heaven, that he has a will in heaven, and the only way he gets it to earth is through us. And that's why prayer is so important, because it's the only way he's going to get it done is through a man. He said, I searched for a man to stand in the gap, and I found none. How sad is that? That he found nobody that was even paying attention to what was going on so he could stop what he did not want to do, but his hand was forced to do. Wow. John 5:30, this is Jesus speaking. He said, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So as he hears from the Father what's to be done, now he's got a judgment over the situation. And that judgment is just and it's right because it's come from the Father. So we can, hey, that's that authority. So we can walk in authority. Man, I heard it from God. This is what's supposed to be done. I can, you know, walk in that power and authority because I know his will. And if Jesus said he couldn't do anything on his own, we better believe we can. And we need to stop trying. We need to stop figuring it out and going, making our own judgments on things. And I know why they said that. And I bet I know why they did this. I know why this is happening. I know why, you know, I don't presume to know anything anymore. I go, I don't have a clue. Okay, God, I don't have a clue about why this is happening. But you do, I know you do. So, you know, you let me know and let me know how to pray and what I'm supposed to do and, you know, what I'm supposed to say or not say or that's coming to him for his judgment. The next verse was very interesting to me. Give us this day our daily bread. I have always thought that was my provision, my sustenance. And I know he showed me a long time ago that it's daily because he wants us to come daily. He knows if he gave us our bread for the next month or the next year or for eternity, we never come back and talk to him at all. So he only gives us our daily because he wants a continual coming back, a continual fellowship with us, just like he came every day in the garden and walked with Adam and Eve. He wants to do the exact same thing with us every day. But the interesting thing is when I was pondering on that word bread, the Lord reminded me of this verse in John 4:34. It says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. They were talking about, you know, he's got to be hungry. And Jesus goes, I'm not hungry. And they go, did somebody get him something to eat? And so this was his response to him. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That was his daily bread. His daily bread was to find out, Father, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do today? And then do it. Then be obedient and accomplish exactly what he asked him to do. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And then again, we look to Jesus. What did Jesus say about forgiving our debtors? He says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So Jesus always took things a step further. Did you ever notice that? You know, he goes, oh no, adultery isn't when you commit the act, it's when you think about it in your mind. You entertain that thought. Now you've already, you know, he always took it a step further. Well, he said, you just don't forgive them, but love them and pray for them. That's a whole different level of forgiveness. You know, that's something we can't do on our own. That can only be done with the help of the Holy Spirit. That can only be done by going, man, this is tough, and I know what I'm supposed to do, and it's tough. And so, God, you're going to have to help me with this. And you know what he'll say? Pray for that person. Pray for him. Oh, my goodness. Forgive us our debts. Prayer has changed me more than any conference I've been to, any service I've sat in, any worship time I've been in. Prayer, my private time of prayer has changed me more than anything because I have had to pray, Father, forgive me of my debts a lot of times. When I'm in a prayer time with him and I'm talking to him about a situation and he reveals my heart, you know, how I've looked at that thing, how maybe I've judged wrong, how maybe I've responded wrong, how maybe I've acted wrong. You know, and I mean, in reading the word, so many times when I'm reading the word, I just go, oh God, I can do better in that area. I can, you know, I forgive me. I can do better in that. One thing I say often is, God, that is not who I am. That is not who I am. That is not who I am. And I'm so sorry that I responded that way, or I'm so sorry that I even have entertained those thoughts, that I've even thought that about that person. I am so sorry, because that's not who you created me to be. That is not who I am. And, you know, change that way in us. That's that forgiving our debts, you know, when we're in our time of prayer. If things are revealed to us about some wrong attitudes or thoughts, that's our chance there to you know, ask for forgiveness, and then also, you know, to be reminded of those we need to forgive. It's in prayer. This forgiveness thing is so big to him that he talks about it. He goes on to talk about it after this verse. He goes in 14 and 15, he says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." That's huge. I mean, that's huge. Forgiveness is a big deal to God. It's a big deal to God. It's a legal right, and it's one of the biggest stumbling blocks to getting our prayers answered, is unforgiveness. Okay, we're going to go back up to 13. I skipped 13 because I wanted to read 14 and 15 because he kept talking about that forgiveness part. And then 13, and this kind of just wraps it all up, says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." There's a couple of translations that say "from the evil one." And I always thought that was a little odd. That verse was a little odd. Lead us not into temptation. It said God doesn't tempt anyone, right? It's the enemy who tempts us. Mm-hmm. So why are we saying don't lead us into temptation? But here's the thing. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's if we take this outline of the prayer, then we're not going to be led into the temptation to make judgments about people, to ask for the wrong thing in prayer, to be just pulled away by our own desires and our own over the situation. I want this, so I'm just going to ask for this. I know I'm supposed to ask for your will, but your word says that you'll give me the desires of my heart, so this is the desires of my heart. He gives us the desires of our hearts when our heart's desire is in line with him. And when it's not, he can't answer that prayer. But, you know, if we have the wrong motivation for what we're praying, that just makes that prayer unanswerable. And he wants his people to pray prayers that can be answered. He needs his people to be praying prayers that come from the throne of heaven onto this earth. We can't mess around in prayer any longer. We really need to be hearing from the throne, what's going on? What do you want us to do? How do you want us to pray? And then praying what he says. When we do that, we're not going to be led into temptation. When we do these things that he's outlined for us here in these verses, we're not going to be led into temptation, right? He's going to be leading us so we don't go into temptation. We're going to be delivered from what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to come in and just, get you to pray selfish prayers, get you to pray one-sided prayers, get you to not even ask God, but just ask him, gimme, 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 do this, do that, and I prayed that way for years. I thought that's how you're supposed to pray. It said, if you want something, ask for it. Okay, I'm going to ask for it, but no. If our heart isn't in line with his heart, our desires aren't in line with his desires, he can't answer those things for us, And I got tired of praying prayers that weren't getting answered. And when he taught me how to pray prayers that could be answered, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing when I pray a prayer and then I see it answered. I'm like, wow, there's something to this. There's something to asking you how I should pray. And then it gets answered because now my will is lined up with your will and we're walking in this thing together. And I mean, it happens more times than I can tell you my prayers are answered. And I am absolutely, I used to be blown away. And then he said to me, "Why are you blown away?"
Yeah.
Like, didn't I tell you?
Yeah.
If you prayed, if you would ask, I would tell you how to pray, and then of course I'm going to answer because I just told you what you needed to pray for. Mm-hmm. You know, so of course I'm going to answer that prayer. Anyway, and the stumbling blocks, and it's kind of funny because all of these stumbling blocks are listed in Luke 17. So if you go to Luke 17, that's where he talks about stumbling blocks, right? And he says, hey, they're going to come. Stumbling blocks are going to come. And woe to him who, I can't remember exactly how it's written down. I didn't bring that with me, but through which they come, okay? So stumbling blocks are going to come. The enemy isn't, he wants us to get off track. And so that's his job, right? To steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. Get in there and just mess us up. If he can't keep us from, you know, accepting the Lord, once we accept him, he wants to keep us off track. You know, okay, but if I can just keep them ineffective, where they won't even want to pray because their prayers don't get answered, so they don't even want to pray, then awesome, that's good, because then they won't be doing what God wants them to do. So this is kind of, I went through this list and I was like, wow, these are kind of talked about in here, aren't they, Lord? That's why you told me to go back to this. So distractions, you know, he told us, shut the door. Distractions can keep us from praying effective prayers. So just being distracted when we're, you know, and I mean, there's times I have to go, okay, like I've got even thoughts rolling through my head and I'm trying to have this conversation with the Lord, you know, and so I have to just go, you know, okay, God, I want to focus. My focus needs to be on you. I shut everything. I lay everything else down. I shut it off. I tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Every distracting thought, just go. If there's something, sometimes I'll just write down some things that I'm thinking, because then I can set them aside and not be afraid I'm going to forget. Like, but I need to remember to do this and do that. So I keep a pad of paper all over around me in all my bags. I got in my purse, so I can write things down and just set them aside so those are not distractions. Our words, you know, when we speak, it's important. He shows us in this prayer that we speak what he tells us to speak. That's how we bring heaven to earth. And so we have to be careful what we speak. I remember specifically one time going up for prayer, and I went up and I asked for prayer, and later on I was having a conversation with somebody and I was talking so negative about what I had went up to prayer for. Uh-huh. You know, like, oh yeah, this thing is... And the Holy Spirit said to me, you just went back to the altar and took that prayer request back. You just took it right off the altar with your words.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, how many times do I do that? You know, I go and I say, you know, this child of mine, I need somebody to agree with me on, you know, this person's going through this time, blah, blah, blah. And then I go, yeah, I don't know. It's really bad. And I don't know if it's going to get turned around. It sure doesn't look like it. I'm like, whoa, wait, I just canceled that prayer, didn't I? You know, so that's, we have this power, this royal power and authority that comes out of our mouth. We need to be careful with the words we speak. Not exalting God, I put him, God, to the position he deserves. Okay, so really kind of doubting, could he really do this? You know, all things are possible with God, right? But sometimes we pray, but then we doubt. We really doubt. But we haven't put him in that position of God. You know, maybe we've just thought of him as Father. Maybe we didn't go to the position of God. We've just thought of him as Father. And so because of not putting in him his proper position and going, if he's told me this, if he showed me, if he said pray this way, this is gonna get answered. And really believing that it's going to get answered, you know, and not doubting. And, you know, it says that so many times that, you know, it, because you believed, your prayer was answered, you know. But if we believe he is who he says he is, right, if we really believe he's God and he can do anything, he can, and somebody's gone, or he can, you know, shut things down. He can, you know, he controls your number of your days. He controls, if we really believe that. I had a situation just the last couple weeks. My uncle had a really bad stroke. And when my cousin got a hold of me, you know, and was telling me about this, you know, she was like, pray. She had sent me a message, pray. You know, my dad's had a stroke and it's really bad. And Anyway, so I went to prayer, and here's what I said to the Lord. My uncle's 98. I know he's got his days are numbered. There's a day when is going to be his time to go. And so I need to know how to pray. I need to know, do I pray for healing or do I pray, go ahead and send your angels and take him home so he doesn't have to suffer. How do I pray in this situation? Because, you know, he's lived a good long life. And so, and the Lord told me, he said, the biggest problem was his throat was like not, he wasn't able to swallow. Mm-hmm. So they were wanting to put a feeding tube, and it would be a permanent thing. And he was just like, no, I don't want that. And, real upset about it. He couldn't talk at the time. He couldn't. There was a lot of things that were going on. But the Lord told me, he said, you tell those muscles to start working again. And so I prayed that prayer. And the next day, I got a text and said, hey, he's been swallowing. He's, you know, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. You told me how to pray. I didn't know how to pray. I mean, I was like, I don't know, you know, I could pray all day long for his healing if it's his time to go. If his days were numbered and this was the day, well, my prayers for healing isn't going to make a difference. You know, so we need to be sensitive to know. And I'll tell you something else neat about that story. He got saved. I mean, he's always been a great man. He has always been such a good, kind man. But he actually, he told his daughter, I don't know if I'm really ready to meet God. And so she said, well, Dad, we can take care of that. And he actually gave his heart to the Lord. So I'm like, you know, if it was only for a few more days, that's huge. That's huge. I mean, I was so excited when she texted me. But making sure we put him in that position of authority and power and belief, not asking his will, but demanding ours. You know, too many times we want something and we want to see it happen, and we want to see it happen now.
Yeah.
And so we go to him just going, you know, like, I've waited long enough. Or, you know, or how much longer am I going to have to wait? You know, like, and instead of going, help me in this time of waiting. This is tough. Help me. Help me in this time of waiting. I believe you're going to do this, and, you know, and but help me in this time of waiting. So, you know, not demanding ours. And that, again, Jesus said, I don't do anything of my own initiative. There's that, not demanding, but he just said, I just go seek his will, and I do what he wants me to do. Disobedience is another thing, and that goes right back in there. I only do what my father tells me, and I only say what my father tells me. You know, too many times he tells us what to do, or you get this feeling, you know, that don't say that, don't act that way, don't, and we just kind of, well, I have the right to act that way. You know, nobody would blame me for feeling the way I feel right now. Everybody could understand. They'll go, oh, yeah. I can see how you know, but he's going, that's not right. That's absolutely not right. So being obedient, he can't, here's one of the things that he has taught me over and over. If I'm disobedient to what he's already told me, he can't do anything else.
That's
he's like, till you're obedient with that thing, we can't go to the next step, you know? Yeah. You know, and Jesus lived in total obedience to his Father. Yeah. When he was on the earth. And he was God. I mean, he could have just said, I am tired of this stuff. You know, just take those people out. I've prayed that prayer before. I hate to say. That was in my early years of being a Christian. But, you know, can you just, I don't care what you do, just take them. Even if you just take them out, like, just, this is, like, way too difficult to deal with. Unforgiveness, and we read about unforgiveness, is a huge stumbling block to prayer, because he says, I can't forgive you if you can't forgive them. Plain and simple. That's the bottom line, unforgiveness. And he doesn't say, well, if they've hurt you this way, you have the right then to keep holding on to that thing. You know, if they've done this or that to you, you have the right then. You know, he just plain out said, there's nothing that gives you the right to hold on to unforgiveness, and so that was the Those are out of Luke, which is really neat. I'm like, wait, they're all right here. You know, that. But come to him daily. Come to him often. You know, and it becomes, prayer really kind of becomes a lifestyle. So, you know, you start out like setting time aside. But then when you hear him tell you things and then you are obedient, you act on that, and then you see the outcome, then you're like, I need you to tell me more stuff. You know a lot. You know everything about me. You know everything about that person or that situation, or you know it all. You know it all. And so I need to spend more time talking to you than anybody else that I can spend time talking to, you know, rather than going to somebody else for like, what do you think? You know, going to him. Because really what he thinks, now, a neat thing that he does is he'll tell you something and then it'll get confirmed by somebody else. I mean, you might hear it on the radio, you might hear it at church on Sunday, you might hear it at prayer school on Friday night. It might just come up in a conversation you're having with a friend and you'll be like, God was just telling me that. Like, wow, that's, and I love how he does that. He confirms it to us. So you know, and I heard him. I definitely heard, you know, and all the different ways he speaks to us, you know, in prayer. I always, whenever I pray, I always have the word with me, always. Because he, 9 times out of 10, he directs me to the word. He reminds me of something in the word. And, you know, and I go back and I reread that passage, or I you know, meditate on it. Or he may say, do you understand that word? Do you really understand what that word means? Like, and then I'll go like, well, I think I do. That's usually my answer to him. I think I do. And he'll say, why don't you look it up? Why don't you see what that really means? And boy, it changes everything. I mean, like with this kingdom, royal power and authority. Now, every time I see the kingdom in the Bible, it's been happening to me for the last couple weeks now. Every time I see it, I switch that out to royal power and authority. It takes on a whole different meaning. I'm like, wow, you know, the kingdom of God, your royal power and authority is like this. And then those, all of a sudden, those verses are like, oh my goodness, yeah, that, you know, those talents. Are you speaking with authority the things that he's told you? And that's sowing that stuff into the earth. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know. So, you know, and the daily bread thing. Am I today? Am I listening to what you want me to do? And am I being obedient to do that thing that you want me to do? You know, because he's got plans. We know it from Jeremiah. He's got plans for us. And it's not just a plan. It's plans. And he's got those plans, and he wants us to be in partnership with him to accomplish what he wants accomplished on this earth. Just think, if the church got in tune with asking him his will and doing what he told us to do and praying like he told us to pray, we'd be an unstoppable force. If we just, like, you know what? This life is not about me. Mm-hmm. This life is all about you. Yeah. And you know what? I just need to start becoming a part of that plan and helping move your thing forward. We wouldn't have to have all of the debates and stuff that goes on in Washington and Topeka and, you know, because he'd just do some things. Mm-hmm. Just because he had people that were praying and calling forth things into this earth. Anyway, that was what he showed me, and I was like, wow, I will never look at the Lord's Prayer the same again. It's an outline, and it has every step in it that, you know, we can take to pray effective prayers and prayers that hit the mark. Actually, that was when he originally taught me and teach us how to pray, taught me how to pray. He said, Julie, I'm going to teach you to pray prayers that hit the mark. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, hit the mark. Like, that's kind of a high, you know, marksman, those people that can, man, they can hit from far away. They, you know, and I was like, wow, that's, and you know, I've actually had two people who had been praying over me and said they saw me as a, like a person with one of those night goggle things on, and I was, yeah, and I was like, and they didn't know that he had told me he was going to teach me to pray to hit the mark, You know, and I'm like, no, he was serious. He was serious. He that's what he wants his church to be. He wants us to be, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He wants his church to be full of praying people who pray prayers that hit the mark, that just don't go in there and go, oh, give me this, give me that, do this, do that, you know, change this person. You know, he's like, well, you're probably the one that needs to be changed. I know that happens to me more than anything else. But prayer will not only cause some things to happen in your life, but it'll change you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely change you more than anything else you can do. Is you'll be changed in prayer. So let's pray. Father, we are grateful, we're humbled that you give us such clear information in your word, so we don't have to be out there just trying to figure it out on our own. I am so grateful for your word, God, and for your Holy Spirit that is the intermediator between God the Father and the Son and us. And thank you that we can hear, we can understand. You've given us the mind of Christ, that we can understand. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, God, so that when you tell us something, you make it very plain, and you can understand. And it's daily. It's just the steps. You don't give us all the time the end result, but you say, do this, pray this, walk in this. This is how you do it. And then we get to see how you walk us down that path to get your results. And Father, we repent, I repent, of all the times that I've come to you with my results in mind, mm-hmm. and what I want and my will. And Father, we want to know your will, and we want to do your will. We want to, you know, we're called Christians, Christ-like. We want to be like Jesus. We want to walk like Jesus. We want to hear like he did. And so, Father, thank you that he taught us how to pray. He didn't just model it in front of us, but he taught us how to pray. He said, this is how I do it. This is why my prayers are so effective. And Father, we want to be a church that's effective in the way we pray. So just keep working on us, keep molding us, keep making us into those people that will be a powerful, just like the Church of Acts, God, and we'll turn the world upside down. Mm-hmm. And I just thank you, God, for this night. I thank you for this opportunity to just speak what you've spoken to me. And we give you all the praise and the glory. Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.